Sunday school teacher was discussing the Ten Commandments one day with her 5 and 6 year old students there, and after explaining the commandment to honor thy father and mother, she asked, is there a commandment that teaches us how to treat our brothers and sisters? Without missing the beat, one little boy answered, thou shalt not kill. All humor aside, anger is a serious problem today. And as we learned in Ephesians, we shouldn't let the sun go down on our anger. We also should not let that anger turn into bitterness. We don't want to let the devil have a chance with us to gain a foothold in our lives. So if you're following along, our text is from Hebrews 12, verses 14 and 15. Hebrews 12, 14 and 15. Pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up causing trouble, and it may be defiled. Has someone ever said anything to you or done something to you and it's difficult for them for you to forgive them? Every time their very name is brought up, even though it's been many years ago, it still brings butterflies in your stomach. When you think of them, your heart races, and you can feel the blood pressure rising when you think of what they said or what they did. It's as though you were reliving it again, just thinking about it. If so, then you may be taking that bitter pill, which is not good, because bitterness doesn't ever touch the person you're bitter towards, but it sure will harm you. No exceptions. Like the old Frankenstein monster, bitterness can turn on its creator and cause internal damage beyond compare to our lives. The other person continues their life oblivious to what our thoughts are and how we think. They may be happy and content and never even think about the things that they did to you. But because they still bring bitterness in your life, they're still controlling you in some sort of way. Anger, guilt, grief. Are they sin? Maybe so, maybe not. But there is a human emotion that is always, without exception, a sin. And that's bitterness. Bitterness and unforgiveness is always sins in God's eyes. If you do something to me, you have sinned. If I turn away in bitterness, I have sinned. You question my motives. Injure me falsely. You have sinned. But if I let bitterness take over my life, then I have sinned. Who is that person that comes to mind for whom we may hold some bitterness today? If you're honest with yourself and with God today, don't explain it away. They came to mind for a reason. The Holy Spirit of God brings them to your mind because He loves you and wants you to rid yourself of that which eats away at you from the inside out, and that's bitterness. It may have been last week, last year, last decade, last half century. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you were a child or an adult at the time. But you know in your heart, you never truly let them go. And whatever you do, don't say, I don't hardly ever think about them at all. That wasn't the question. The question is, do you think about them and the things they did or said at that time? Or someone else brings it up and you start thinking about them? Let's all be honest. No denial. Who is it? Who is it that might be troubling us today? Who is it that causes bitterness in our lives? And there are six things that bitterness will do to your life, and they're all detrimental. Bitterness will take you down spiritually. It'll devastate you. Because bitterness necessitates that you walk in the flesh, not in the spirit. You can't be in the spirit and hold bitterness in your life. All Christians have the choice each and every day and throughout the day to take a step in the spirit or to take a step back into the flesh like those out in the world. We can't control what happens in life. Many of us have no control at all sometimes. But we can control how we respond and how we react to it. We can be the one to be the better person and to forgive. A bold sounding statement. If you have unresolved bitterness in your life, you are not right with God, and you are not walking in the Spirit, but in the flesh. In Galatians 5, in verse 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. These are the very things you hold back from them, as long as you are bitter. Now, often when we take our first steps in Christianity, we're kind of warned in the beginning that if we accept this, that the road of Christianity is not paved with gold, and that it's hard sometimes, and that it's difficult to be a good Christian, that it's difficult to apply the things, and this is probably one of the most difficult things we can do here. Yes, someone can give up their vices and walk away from it. Someone can do this, someone can do that. But when it comes down to that pain that we've been hurt with in life, to the things that have crossed our wake in life that didn't set well with us, that, you know, caused us to be bitter about these things, this is not experiencing Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23 here this morning. You think of them, think about the love you should be expressing to them. As I said, this is we warn people when they become Christians. It's not an easy walk sometimes. It's very difficult. But we know that without forgiving others, without letting go of that bitterness, we have no place in heaven either. Because look what God forgave. Look what God forgave in our lives. And that's what we need to imitate. You think about them and don't feel joy and have no peace at all. You should be able to have joy in knowing that you've forgiven those people, just as Christ has forgiven us, just as God has sent His Son to forgive us. We need to forgive those other ones. We need to show that we want to be Christ-like. We need to be long-suffering. Think about how much God has forgiven in our lives. We need to forgive them also. The very next chapter in Galatians also drives it home in Galatians 6, starting in verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall also he reap. For he that soweth in his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Yes, bitterness will devastate you spiritually. And that which we sow, if we sow bitterness and unforgiveness, then that is our reward. Holding bitterness and walking in the flesh and sowing in the flesh will eat you up inside. It's impossible to be wrong with man and right with God in the same time. Because bitterness necessitates that you walk in the flesh and not in the Spirit. Because bitterness halts spiritual growth altogether. You can't grow. You can't take that next level. You can't understand the deep things that Peter's talked about Peter, that Paul wrote about many times. We can't take that next step. Growing in grace is not an instantaneous process. Oh, we think it is when we come out of the water and we think, well, I'm the new creature and everything is just going to be great and I'm going to be super strong. And what do you run into? You run into all the problems and things and you've had in your life. You run into all the friends you've had who say, oh, why'd you do that? Why don't you come out with us and party this weekend and get back into the swing of things? Don't do that. That's for crazy people and stuff to follow God. But it's steps we have to take. It's steps along that journey we have to take. You know, you might grow a squash in 6 weeks, but it's not there anymore. But a mighty oak takes 100 years to grow, and it can be there for a long time. That's what growing in grace is. It's becoming that mighty oak that's not moved, that stands strong, that provides so much for the creatures that are around it and is so fruitful and beneficial to those who take comfort in it. That's what growing in grace is. You want the church to grow in grace. You don't want to have a bitter church either, full of bitter people. You want to have a church that's forgiving and guiding and loving. You can be all that you want to be if you'll let go of the things of the past. Use your spiritual gifts for His glory. Let these things go. Forgive. Let the bitterness fade away. Doing that will show you what Christ did for us in forgiving us. It'll let us take those next steps. If you want to stop that process dead in its tracks, all you have to do is harbor bitterness. You can stop the growth process right in its place. So if you're taking those bitter pills, let Christ set you free from that. Because bitterness will destroy you spiritually and also destroy you physically. Like a constantly running machine, it's not an occurrence, it's a lifestyle. It enters your subconscious mind and it runs while you're sleeping, while you're eating, watching TV. You think of the bitter things in life. And medical doctors said bitterness would affect your body, your physical health. Bitterness has been medically linked to glandular problems, high blood pressure, cardiac disorders, ulcers, and even insanity. One leading psychiatrist wrote 90% of all people in the asylums could be released immediately if they would learn how to forgive or how to be forgiven. You know, an article in the Gospel Herald one time, there was a man whose health was good. He was sturdy and strong. His heart action and his blood pressure, they were all fine. Then his father died, and he got into a prolonged legal dispute with his sister over the father's will. The case went to court, and the sister won. From that day on, the man could think of nothing more than the lawsuit and his sister. He talked about it. He thought about it. He filled himself with it. It became an obsession. And each day he grew to hate his sister more. Then he began to have difficulty with his heart and blood pressure. Next, his kidneys caused him trouble. Before many months, complications had taken his life. It seemed obvious that he died from bodily injuries brought on by powerful emotions in his life. You know, it's almost as if the man killed himself. Death by bitterness. He committed a spiritual suicide, and the trigger he pulled was the trigger of bitterness in his life. Charles Stanley in The Gift of Forgiveness wrote, "A friend of mine is a fine man who loves God. His wife had cancer, and they sought the best medical help. The doctor who had been studying the relationship between cancer and negative emotions began to work with Mrs. Brown. She came to the doctor every day, and week after week, he tried to get her to cry. She would not cry, she could not cry. Somehow, there was simply nothing to cry about in her life. But the doctor kept talking to Mrs. Brown. Then one day, in the midst of the conversation, she began to cry. And as the tears fell, she confessed bitterness towards her parents for something that had happened years ago. When she got it all out, she was free, liberated, and forgiven herself. Today, Mrs. Brown stands by her husband's side with love and support for his ministry. It is the doctor's professional opinion that she would not have recovered from her cancer if she had not recovered from her bitterness. Now, I know not all sickness or cancer is caused by bitterness, but it's impossible to be bitter and not have it affect our bodies. Still taking that bitter pill? Then let Christ set you free, because bitterness will devastate you spiritually, destroy you physically, and also discourage you emotionally. Where there's bitterness, there's discouragement. You become judgmental of others and think you know their motives. You think people are talking about you. It's like the old joke. The guy said he couldn't go to football games anymore because he just knew when they got into a huddle they were talking about him. You know, a teacher made a student hold a book out at arm's length. It was a small book. And, you know, the kids laughed. He said, "It's not heavy. I can do this all day." But you know what? After a while, that book started to tire his arm, and it started to get heavy. And after a while, he begged for mercy. Just last night, I seen there's this sect out in the Philippines, and they actually do crucifixion rituals. They will nail someone through their hands, and of course tie them up too, because that's kind of a weak point in your hand, and put them up on the cross. Do you know that they can only stand it for about a minute? Someone did about 5 minutes, but the pain and the pressure from that was too much. And that's what bitterness does, and anger that goes on beyond the end of day does in our lives. It destroys us. You know, we can minimize the seriousness of a little bit of bitterness you may have. It's not really a problem. But when you hold on to it long enough, you will buckle underneath its weight. That's why our text in Hebrews 12:12, it says, lift up the hands which hang down and feeble knees. Lift up and overcome those things in our life. We can overcome all the bad in our life. We can't make it go away. We can't erase it from our memories. But we can certainly forgive it and let it fly into the past. Let it take its place so that we can march on with God, so that we can stand strong with Jesus. And then when we meet someone who's having trouble in that same way in their life, we can help them along their journey. Just like our body, there's a place for everyone here. You never know, you may wonder, what's my place here, until that certain person comes to you with all these problems that you've dealt with in your past. And you can take them along that journey and help them overcome those things. So keep that in mind when you look for what God wants you to do in your life for Him. Still taking that bitter pill? Let Jesus set you free, because it'll devastate you spiritually, destroy you physically, and discourage you emotionally. You know, oftentimes, it'll even divide a fellowship. When people are angry within the church, and, you know, it can divide a church and cause bitterness between people and hardship, and that's not good. It's kind of like the old joke. Father says, son, I'm taking your mama to the doctor for her colitis. And the son says, who'd mama collide with this time? You know, collisions can happen within the fellowship. We might not always see eye to eye. We can't completely avoid them, but we can control how we respond. And we can do that in love, in faith, in caring about that person and not holding any bitterness and anger, but working together to overcome our issues. Still swallowing that bitter pill? Then we need to let Christ set us free, because bitterness will destroy everything that we love. And it'll destroy our lives. It destroys marriages. It destroys families. It destroys everything, because it spills over into everything in our lives. Be sure of one thing. Bitterness towards anyone, living or dead, will destroy your relationship with God and others. Bitterness will deprive you of a blessing. You'll bring the negative critical spirit to church with you. You won't come looking for blessing. You'll come looking for what's wrong. And you're sure you'll find it. Because we all need Jesus, because we're all imperfect. So how do we remove that bitterness we have in our lives? How do we take it out? Verse 15 is kind of our key. The root of bitterness. You know, if you want to kill a weed, you got to yank it out by the roots. If you clip the top of it, it's going to grow back. And if you ever notice the weeds in the yard, they grow back a whole lot faster than the grass does. They can be up in a day, and your grass is just struggling to grow, struggling to grow. The only way is to yank it out by the root. The children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, and they were thirsty. They came to Marah, which in Hebrew means bitter, and they had bitter water there. What did God tell Moses to do to heal those bitter waters? Cut down a tree. And when the tree made contact with the water, they were healed. The only hope for the bitter waters that sloshes around within our hearts and our souls is for them to come in contact with the cross of Calvary. Nothing more bitter than a sinner who needs forgiven, can be forgiven, and yet is not forgiven because they won't accept it. Forgiveness is offered to us each and every day. We need to take hold of it. We need to let all the problems of the world fly behind us. When we take off that burden, then we can truly fly. Then we can truly soar in Christ. And our lives can be happy. And we can get down to that which God wants us to do, growing in Him. I don't know what your needs may be this morning, or if you have need of the church, but if you have need, won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?